Okay, it's 3 o'clock. If everybody would like to take your seats, we're going to go ahead and call the Land Use Committee meeting to order. Okay, just a minute after 3, I'm going to go ahead and call the Land Use Committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect that Council President Bullock's here, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Street, Smiley, and Weiner, and Councilman Bell's just joined us. My aide, Valerie, will be taking the notes, and Councilman Hollins is down there too. Motion on the minutes.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. First item on the agenda is under my sponsorship. This is just clearly a amendment to the maintenance declaration. As we all know, that the county, the only involvement the county has in the amendment of a maintenance declaration is just the legalization or the recordization of this document. So all documents have been provided to us. They've been vetted with the community. They're all in agreement, and their attorney, Dan Lasco, is here also in case anybody would have any questions on this document or the process. Questions from members of council? Anybody from the public? Seeing none? It's going to be pretty smooth in this case.
Would you get some charity, somebody give you that jacket for Christmas?
Next item on the agenda is Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, this is just a plan proposal. I just want to take a moment to thank Mr. Tarabicos for his outreach to all the surrounding communities, working with them to resolve their issues. Let's just say he went further than I would have, but then that's not unheard of. With that, I'd like to extend to Mr. Tarabicos, if he'd like to just make a couple of brief with capital B.
Yes, comments. Thank you. Thank you, Council, Mr. Chairman, and members of Council, Larry Tarabicos, on behalf of the owner of the property. We talked about this extensively when we went through the rezoning, and Mr. Vary, his son-in-law, Rich Sweeney's here today, and of course the guys from Duffield that did the engineering on the project. Mr. Vary acquired 7 total parcels, worked on this. I'll make one note that's important here. This is probably, and I'll put it up on the PowerPoint here, this plan and the visuals that you see, I think this is probably the first plan coming through that has the imprint of Eileen Fogarty on it. So this was one of her key plans when she was there, when she started having a tremendous impact on the architectural appearance of the buildings, on the pedestrian orientation of the buildings, and on every project, I think was probably the key thing that she was trying to make every project an amenity, an improvement to the community. And we'll have Linden Hill Station coming up next month, Milltown Square after that, which are all projects that she had a tremendous imprint on. This was at least my project, the first one that really she was heavily involved with. So a lot of work on this, Councilman Smiley and his aide did a great job pulling the community together. There is a member of the community here. We spent, 6, 7, 8 meetings with the community getting this to the point where it was approved unanimously by Planning Board and County Council as well. We're looking forward to have it come forward. It's going to be recorded along with extensive deed restrictions with the community. That's essentially it. It does incorporate, as I pointed out when this came through the rezoning process, a lot of pedestrian, bicycle, and transit facilities, bus shelters, bike paths, bike shelters, bike racks. A lot of Mr. Vary is particularly sensitive to handicap parking, so we have more handicap parking on this site than would normally be required, and a lot of connectivity between the buildings, bike connectivity and walking, and then there's also a gazebo on the property, again with Ms. Fogarty's ideas of creating a place where people would gather and come, and the community's pretty excited about it. So that's all I have to say, and we'll leave it at that.
Councilman Smiley, this is your application. Any comments?
I don't want to ruin it for him.
I just offer one. As I mentioned when you came to the process early on, that I grew up in the area, and I think you originally come in with only where the pizza shop little store was, and I remember distinctly the older couple that had run that store for years and years and years, and we always stopped in there, and my mom and dad knew them, and it later became a pizza shop. So I was happy to see when you went back and took some suggestions from land use and was able to actually purchase other parcels to make it much friendlier looking site that can actually serve the area a lot better. So thank you for doing that.
Never too old to learn. We did a better job on it.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I just want to note for the record that I don't need to ask my normal question about connectivity and transit orientation, and I think that's important.
Thank you.
And thank you. And remember, I'm trying to hold this to 5 minutes. Next item on the agenda is Councilman Weiner.
I think there was a member of the public wanted to speak.
Was there? Of the public.
Am I the public?
Yes.
All right, the public is standing.
My name is Phil Singer. I was on the board of directors of the Crossings of Christiana community. We're the community adjacent to this project. I started getting involved with this project back in July of 2014, and I understand that it was going on about a year or so before that. But when I got involved, I met Larry Tarabicos and George Smiley and Joe Retta. There's a list of names here that I really, I got to know people that I'd never thought I'd ever meet. Brian Townsend, State Senator, Mike Barbieri, our state representative, Joe Retta. Let's see. It was Tony Vera, the developer. I guess somehow he snookered into getting Larry to represent him, and Larry did an outstanding job. Larry, he brought in the communities involved around the adjacent project, and that's the Newtown Square community, the Villages of Crofton, and the Crossings of Christiana. And it wasn't like he ramrodded this project down into the community. He made the community part of this project, and that was so important. When they first heard about this project being developed, the community was in an uproar. Oh, we don't want this, we don't want this. And we went to a meeting at the Bear Library, and the dust settled right then and there. Who else was there? Steve Gorski and Jeff Bros, the engineers that put this thing together. They had plans, they laid it out, they presented it to the community in a way that they wanted the involvement. As Larry said, there was several meetings at the Bear Library, at our clubhouse in our community. We went to Del Dot in Dover. The culmination of this whole thing was is that we created a thing called the Declaration of Restrictions. And it addressed all the issues the communities in the area were concerned about. And some of those is that they were concerned about the lighting coming into their communities, so that was settled. They were concerned about security, so there's 24/7 security. They were concerned about the trash pickups. There's specific times and days of the week that the trash can be picked up. They were concerned about the dumpsters being emptied so that it wouldn't attract varmints, you know. And so that was taken care of. And then there was the types of businesses that the community didn't want in this project. And so they didn't want tattoo parlors. They didn't want payday title loans, bars, and tap rooms, excluding a bar that's in a restaurant, in a family-style restaurant, which is supposedly this one building is slated for. They didn't want adult bookstores, strip joints, laundromats, and it goes on and on. They didn't want gasoline products. They didn't want auto sales, repair services. It just went on that Eileen Fogarty, she was at that first meeting, and she was so important to say that she wanted this project to be on an upscale kind of way. And I live in a community, Crossings of Christiana, and as you said, you've lived in this community. This community, I don't know how it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, but it has deteriorated quite a bit. And there's drugs. There was a shooting a couple years ago at a church function. And there's a couple strip shops that attracts drugs, and the police are there trying to, you know, deal with that. And with Tony Vera and the developer coming in here and doing this, it's going to just bring this community up. It can't do anything but bring this community up. And the materials that they're using, the expression that was used is that this was going to be something like a Hokesson kind of a community. And for where we live, that's a big plus. And so It was Larry that coordinated this thing and got everybody involved. And I'm just very appreciative of everybody that participated in this thing and made it what it is. And I understand that today is like the final, let's get it going. And maybe it is, maybe it's not, but it's pretty darn close. And so all I can say is let's just get there. And thank you very much for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Certainly, I absolutely appreciate you coming out and sharing your, you know, personal observations from the community and your interaction with, you know, the attorney. He probably shared with you that he actually was the attorney that represented your community early on, and I was on what was an umbrella group in that area called the 740 Alliance at that point when he brought that through. And so Larry's been around a long time. Question, members of council. Anything else from the public? Okay. Next item on the agenda, Councilmember Moyner.
Yes, this is ordinance 15-083, Harbor Chase on the Shipley Road in between Lane Swim Club, Oak Lane Manor, and the school, Springer School, is nearby as well as other residential communities and retirement homes. A retirement home is proposed, and I'm happy to just turn it over to the attorney, and I'll make some further comments. I also want to note the presence of a civic association, CCOBH representative Jay Harry, and also he represents both CCOBH. We have some other civic leaders too, from Surrey Park, and give me your name again.
Mark.
Mark is here as well, so you'll hear from them.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner, Chairman, members of Council. Happy New Year. My name is Sean Tucker for the record, and I represent Harbor Chase of Wilmington. I will go quickly through the PowerPoint just to make some highlights today and save the main presentation for Council as Council deems necessary. My client has several retirement communities that it operates. They were established in 2002, presently operating 20 communities in 5 states, developing communities in 6 additional states currently. Dick Balmer is actually here as a representative of Harbor Chase, and Mr. Jennings will also be coming, who's been at some of the meetings, as Councilman Weiner knows as well, for the vote next week. Quick background, my client did do a market analysis before proposing to locate the current facility before you for consideration, and in particular look in about a 7-mile radius around the site, which is located, as Councilman Weiner had mentioned, off of Shipley Road and North Brandywine 100. Currently about 200,000 people live within a 7-mile radius. 30,000 are 65 and older. The facilities in the area, the communities in the area, are close to capacity currently. About 70% of people over 65 need some form of long-term services and support. That's nationally based on statistics. And according to the 2012 study by Center for Housing Policy, the 85-plus population in the country will triple 2010 to 2050. So by 2019, the population 65 and older is projected to increase by about 17% based on the research study that was done. So no surprise that a company like this would be looking to establish a new community in North Wilmington to address that market need that is projected. Just to orient folks a little bit more precisely, 202 is on the left side of the PowerPoint there. And here's the proposed site right here along Shipley. It is about 8.5 acres in size. You get an idea for the residential development pattern around us, which is fairly dense, probably one of the more dense areas of Newcastle County.
If I could just interrupt, yes. I meant to say, could you talk about its current use?
Sure.
It was a farm?
Yes. Right. Actually, the greenhouse and original farm before that, I guess. So drilling down a little bit more, and I will get to Councilman Weiner's slide here in just a moment.
Mr. Tucker, when you do, could you please indicate also where this parcel lies on the state strategies map and in what zone?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Currently, we are zoned suburban. The proposed rezoning is to ST, and I believe we are at level one, level two area on the state strategies and investment map. There are currently four other facilities or communities around us, and they're identified in the pink color, where the green parcel in the center. So we have Falk Manor North, Sunrise, Arden, and Falk Manor South. So this area is already sort of established in a lot of ways for assisted living communities, and it's been a popular use in this area given the average age of folks. A lot of DuPont retirees, ironically, in this area.
I've heard of that company.
Yes. It's been mentioned a few times in the press. And what we did was just by way of density, this is a little bit different than your typical plan where you're looking at density per acre based on lots. This is really beds, if you will. So what we did was we took a look at the number of beds per acre at the other four facilities, and we looked at the number of beds that my client is proposing. And Harbor Chase is proposing about 14 beds, I'm sorry, 14.3 beds per acre, or 120 beds. Falk Manor, by comparison, is 16.7 per acre, which is 144 beds. 15.3 per acre for Sunrise, which is 87 beds. 21 for Arden, which is 121 per acre, which is 175 beds. And then finally, Falk Manor South, which is about 28 beds per acre. There's 112 beds there. So the average of those four facilities around us is about 20 beds per acre. And we are actually below that. Even with the rezoning to ST, we fall below that average density if you calculate it in that fashion. That is because these facilities were established under the older zoning code. And so the ST essentially puts us on a more level footing with them than the S would. And just to give you an idea of scale, the building is approximately 100,000 square feet in size. Skip over this slide real quick. And it's about 60% open space, 59%. So going through the legal factors real quick, I'll jump to the slide. We're all familiar with these out of the UDC. But just to drill down into the site and the existing use, as Councilman Weiner inquired a moment ago about, here you have this abandoned, essentially greenhouse facility. Here's the in yellow the boundary of the parcel, and there are actually two parcels here. We did find, as part of our due diligence, arsenic on the site that we suspect was legally applied in the past, which of course no longer can be legally applied. That will have to be cleaned up as part of this effort if the rezoning is approved and new development is permitted. This I would submit to council is a classic infill situation. We're in a developed area. This is a abandoned property. It is literally the buildings are falling down, and especially with the arsenic situation, redevelopment here makes a lot of sense and infill. This gives you an idea of where the nursery or greenhouse falls in relationship to the plan we're proposing today and its proximity to the neighbors. That's in black. That's what's there today. What's in green and the parking is part of the new facility. So the site cleanup is something consistent with the comp plan, is encouraged by the comp plan when we do redevelopment. Consistency with the character of the neighborhood. Here's the proposed architectural. We're still working with the neighbors on the fine tuning of this, but I would submit, and I think it's fair to say, this is a rather spectacular architectural rendering that would really be an asset to the community, and we're still improving upon this with our neighbors. And then finally, sort of a colorized version of the exploratory plan you have in front of you, so you can see the building at 100,000 square feet, the buffering, significant buffering for our neighbors to the south. To the west, we already have some existing buffering. The darker green is existing vegetation. We're adding pathways, getting to Councilman Weiner's interconnectivity which I know is important to him and his district, and then a connection to the neighborhood to our west as well. Transit is about a half a mile away. We are talking to DelDOT about extending that service down this part of Falk Road, but in the interim, my client does have a shuttle, and they are prepared to make, you know, at high demand points, stops at that existing transit location about a half mile away to pick up folks who may want to come visit loved ones, friends and family. So we're trying to bridge that gap temporarily. Hopefully DelDOT will add this portion of Shipley to its regular route. Not quite there yet though. The site is, based on the engineering, suitable for the proposed use, which is another UDC factor to consider. And I already mentioned the significant buffering provided for nearby properties. We're also proposing to improve the access point to the parcel with D-cell lanes and a left turn lane in. Right now, you don't have any protection for folks making a left into the parcel. It is abandoned right now currently, but we're going to expand the access point so that we can ensure safe access in and out beyond what's available today. And I mentioned the working group. We're very happy to be working with CCOBH, and Mr. Feldman is here as representative of that organization. As Councilman Weiner indicated, we've met with essentially representatives from four neighborhoods around us. More were welcomed. We had public meetings early on, but these were the folks who were most interested. Here are our meeting dates. And the members are listed as well in your PowerPoint. And it's been a well-attended working group with a lot of input, a lot of ideas. There are private deed restrictions that we are preparing to address some of the concerns, including that it would remain a retirement community and the use would not change in the future, lighting concerns, and buffering concerns. This is an example of the interior of an existing facility, just to give you an idea of the caliper of what my client builds. I would compare this to what you would see in a hotel. This is the kind of product and what they bring to the market, which I would submit is another stunning example of the kind of work they do. There's another view, the Village is a crossing in Florida. And there again is the concept plan. So thank you for bearing with me. I was a little bit longer than 5 minutes, I know, but there's a lot of story there I wanted to tell. So thank you for your indulgence.
Yeah. Obviously, you'll be back at council next Tuesday, so no need to be redundant on what you've already presented today. Councilman Weiner, additional questions? This is your application.
Yes, 12, and slide 12, please. It wasn't my practice to attend the working group meetings. I followed Jenna Kilpatrick's method. I started with the first community meeting, and then, of course, we had a conclusion discussion. But I do want to speak in behalf of the 300 families that belong to the swim club next door. When they have four swim meets a year, Shipley Road becomes a parking lot. And it was very important to them that there be a shared parking agreement so that it would be off hours for the retirement home, but they would be able to have overload into the Harbor Chase community, and that would take the pressure off as well my constituents in Oakland Manor, because the people attending the swim meets were actually parking on their streets as well. So I just want to state that on the record, that I want to thank you and for the working group for having that interconnectivity both to the swim club next door, which is Lane Swim Pool, as well as the Oak Lane Manor. For those of us that grew up in this neighborhood, there was always a dirt road that we could take, if you could show that, a dirt path.
There used to be a dirt path here, I believe, or here.
Yeah, dirt path over in Oak Lane Manor, what's that little lower?
This one here that's being paved, yes.
And that you're going to be making that a macadam, so future children won't need to work on a muddy or dirt path and be able to have a, the parents will be able to let the kids ride, as well as parents as well, enjoy being able to walk to the swim club, walk to Shipley Road, and have the option of walking to where they live, shop, work, and play without having to always drive. So I just appreciate that.
Certainly.
That's it.
Ms. Tucker, I have an assisted living facility also at the corner of Harmony Road and Route 4. They provide some meeting space for the surrounding communities. Do you know if there'll be any meeting space available?
Yes, there will be. That actually did come up, I think, indirectly at one of our meetings. And they also like to bring in, you know, kids from the local schools to come in and perform and interact with residents. Mm-hmm. So it's an important part of their model.
And last question, for the arsenic cleanup, is that something that's overseen by
DENREC?
Okay, good. You would say by code, I wanted to be sure.
Yes, by state code. Thank you for clarifying.
Additional question, members of council? From the public?
Well, I'm Jay Harry Feldman from COBH and Oak Lane Manor resident. Just want to say that this process has been exceptionally pleasant and cooperative all the way around. Some of the immediate neighbors who live in the Oak Lane Manor houses are part of the working group and are working on foliage considerations. And the rest of the neighbors that border the property are going to be invited in to discuss more of the details. I do want to point out to everybody, just as a matter of record, that there are 96 rooms, 120 beds. This area right here is one story, and memory care patients, residents will be in that story, and that's in accordance with the fire company. The other part are two stories. Another thing that we really like about the project is that you saw the Brandywine blue granite in portions of the building down below, and then the off-white brick above, or some material, stone material above that. Let's go to the last slide. We've been assured that this package is only half of the building. This is more or less the front of the building to the north end. And these Brandywine, this pattern of Brandywine granite, which is like the front of the Brandywine 100 library, will continue around the whole building. So what you're seeing here is not the showcase side, but will be the entire part that the residents will see from the back, and the Oak Lane Manor residents will see that also. It's been a great process. So Mark, do you want to add something?
Mark Chaplin, Civic Association of Surrey Park. In 2002, I was involved with Attorney Losco and Attorney Tarabigas when the Sunrise facility was built a little bit further up on Shipley Road. And the concerns that were raised by the Civic Association of Surrey Park primarily dealt with future uses of the property. Those types of issues were part of large part of the discussion that occurred in many of our in the working group meetings. And we forwarded those restrictions to Attorney Tucker, and he's agreed to incorporate them, modify them into the final deed restrictions. And with that, we look forward to being good neighbors.
Thank you. Additional questions? Okay, seeing none, we're going to turn to the next item on the agenda for the...
Thank you.
All informative, all knowing, acting manager of land use, Mr. George Haggerty.
Introduction took 5 minutes alone.
Mr. Room starts to clear out when I show up.
You get done, you can watch the rest of us leave.
Okay. I'll try to be quick. Well, good New Year's to I'll press the button. This one goes forward and that goes backwards. Where did I push it? Where did I get a red light?
I'll push it for you, George. I'll speed it up.
All right.
Yeah, fast forward.
So, our chairman asked if we'd come and give a little update. We've been having conversations, discussions kind of along the way about the UDC, but we thought we'd take a few minutes and kind of tell you where we are and where we're going. You know, the background summary on it is, you can see we started on the left-hand, upper left-hand corner. We started from interested citizens groups and stakeholders and sitting and meeting with them and picking their brains and trying to figure out what to do. The discussions led to some visions, some coincidentally some nice well-designed projects along the way. And we ultimately got down to dividing it up into three phases, dividing the UDC up into three phases. Phase one, guiding principles, neighborhood preservation, and economic empowerment districts. Those three ordinances are designed to manage change, enhance community, and incentivize jobs. Phases two and three are still coming, and they're working their way through, but I'm going to spend most of my time talking about the phase one project, because that's where we are. We started out with the phase one projects and the timelines on this to be to council introduction in September of, at the end of September in 2015. We did that. We had a planning board hearing scheduled for December of 2015. We paused that hearing because of some of the comments and some of the lack of consensus, I think we were actually able to get to and just the comments we kept getting back is, it's too rushed, it's too rushed, it's too rushed. So we weren't going anywhere, so we've spoke with our chair, co-chairs, and had a discussion about what to do. We decided to pause them. As you can see, all of them were lined up and all of them were supposed to be in and finished and done the latest at the end of May in 2016. We've moved that over a little bit further out, and you'll see that schedule in a few minutes. We received 45 comments after the ordinances were in ordinance form, 23 for guiding principles, 5 for neighborhood preservation, 17 for EEDs. Comments were reviewed, recorded, and available online, and I'll show you a screenshot in a little bit of exactly where you can go. Each and every one of those are up online on the internet. The three ordinances were paused in December of 15 for the planning board meeting. Some of the examples of the concerns was that the guiding principles, they were concerned that it was an appendix to the UDC and didn't quite know how to handle or deal with that. So we're taking a look at that particular issue. The NPAs and the EEDs were really concerned about the fact that they thought they overstepped or superseded some of the current UDC language, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. These are examples of the guiding principle comments that you could see that when they came in, when they were sent to us, who they were, what the comments were, our consultants' review of them, staff's review of them, and the outcomes in many cases for those. It's just an example of what you see. We have a couple here from some of the civic leaders. This update gives you an idea that we're going to come back and sometime mid-year we're going to get the ordinances, the first three ordinances we introduced, and walk them on through our process out into the towards the end of 2016. But we're going to have some focus group meetings on those. The rest of them will come out for follow-on in towards the phase two, and phase three will follow in towards the end of 2016 and into the early part of 2017. The guiding principles are principles to guide design decisions that create character, place, and value. Previous planning studies and master plan studies and land use action plans and public input provide the foundation for the guiding principles. And in the guiding principles, we're going to divide these up into three members of our planning department are going to actually be the caretakers of these. Marco, which many of you know, is going to pick up the guiding principles, and the focus group is scheduled for February 3rd of 2016, and our next submission we hope to have to you by the end of May of 2016. I want to give you a little bit of background on these three planners, if I can, for a quick second. Marco is a graduate of Cornell University. He has a degree in landscape architect. He's been practicing for 15 years in the private sector with DelDOT, a transportation planner, supervisor in multimodal design, and he's been with the department for right close to a year. Good addition, good knowledge base, and good ability, and I think you'll be pleased as he further, as they have all been taken ownership of these, and we're going to take a little bit more ownership of them as well. Some of the examples of the guiding principles, it's funny that we had this plan in front of you just a short time ago, but here I wanted to give you just a sense of what in real life we're trying to accomplish. This is Larry's plan, Newtown Square. You can see some of the architectural concepts that were there in the upper left-hand corner, and you see on the right-hand side of that, you see how they begin to get placed onto the site itself. So from a context standpoint, they begin to make the site needs to work together better. The site at the end of it is a project out of Councilman Bell's district. Is it Boyd's Corner? That is yours. Yes, Councilman Bell's and Boyd's Corner. This was one of those late claimers that we got involved in. We made some designs, and primarily they were Marco's adjustments to this plan that kind of orientated this from the typical strip shopping center that you see along the major thoroughfares. If you take notice at this entrance, this is 13. This is where you come in, and now you're orientated to walk in and kind of look at a feature and get off into the parking behind the buildings themselves. Small, subtle change, but it's something that we think, you know, makes a difference. So from the building standpoint, we're looking to orientation, frontage, mass, articulation, windows, entryways. From the site, we're looking at relationships between buildings and street parking, multimodal connectivity, stormwater management, landscaping, and the amenities, open space, and accessory uses for recreation. Here's an example of the guiding principles that you just saw just a few minutes ago. And these projects are really leading the way and showing us how these aren't ideas anymore or just talking points, they're reality. as did Larry with the community around him, Sean did the same thing with the community around them, and they brought quality to the project, and they brought quality to the community in the buildings, the orientation of the buildings, the frontage, the articulations, and the products that are used on those. And this was the Harbor Chase that you just saw a few minutes ago. This is back to the Newtown Square, just a little broader picture of that with it. Another one that's on its way is Linden Hill Station. It's one of Mr. Tarabico's projects that they're working on. This is actually a mixed-use community. The word has trepidation for a lot of people. We're thinking of changing the name of it because just of what it seems to represent. But it is an opportunity to live someplace, shop someplace, and actually be a place. And they've taken a relatively tight site, a site that was, for all intents and purposes, its purposes wore out. They're repurposing it, and they're walking through this process. And you can see that it's going to be an improvement. This was an office site that's going to wind up becoming a vibrant place that's going to be recognized as you drive up Route 7 up into the Hocasin area. The one below, you just had that one approved not too long ago, and you saw the accolades that came out of that. This is a Wawa. So who would be thinking we'd be talking about a Wawa and trying to make something nice out of it? But we actually did make something nice out of it, and I think Councilman Bell will tell you that. Again, part of the underpinning behind some of these projects is the effort that goes into bringing the community together and having a conversation with them, one of those pieces that we're trying to do. So the guiding principles is about ideas, concepts, thoughts, and collaboration, and gives us the ability to evaluate these sites in their individual context as well as what they represent to the communities that are around them also. We have another project that Larry's working on, and that's the Bryn Mawr Commons. And we're just going to show you just a quick one, and I'm going to move on from this. But this was the before picture and the after picture. And we've been working back and forth in a collaborative way with the community, with community meetings, community events, and we're going to continue to work at this. This project has got a ways to go, but it is an example of what you can do when you put your heads together and try to come up with something again that's something that will be around for a very long time, and it's an improvement. The economic empowerment districts, these are designation processes. What do I mean by that? At the end of the day, whatever we do, however we put this together, we're bringing all this collaborative effort in front of you, County Council, and saying we'd like you to designate these areas. Now, we picked, interestingly enough, we picked Chestnut Run as an example, and some people are saying, well, you know, that ship has sailed, they're on their way out, but that ship has got a lot of cabin space available to it, and maybe it provides us opportunities to find somebody new and with some more energy to come in and to locate in places like this. This designation process will be a focus on job-rich emphasis, establishing site amenities, predictable development review process for the desired projects. The standards will be scale, site design, building design, impacts. Next steps are Brad Shockley is going to be taking the lead on this ordinance. We're going to have a focus group on March 2nd at the Government Center. And this ordinance we're anticipating being back to you by May 24th, end of May, to start the process, the public review process, the legislative public review process again. A little bit about Brad. Brad graduated from Salisbury as a master with a degree in geography and regional planning. He has a master's in geography and environmental planning at Towson University. He has worked in planning and zoning in jurisdictions in Maryland, and he has 15 years with the department here for Newcastle County. He's also a development facilitator, a position that you approved not too long ago within the past 2 or 3 months. Neighborhood preservation overlay. It establishes clear neighborhood compatibility standards regarding distance, height, scale, design of development. If you take a look at the upper right-hand corner, you'll see an example of what we're trying to accomplish here. You see the houses on the left where are the community. You see the infill parcel was something that either was at one time or is currently. See the differences in the roof orientation. You go down a picture down below, you see how you can start to blend those kinds of design elements so that they look better together rather than in contrast to one another. This ordinance and this concept is designed to kick in within 3 years of the article being approved, the effective date of the article. We're going to be looking at designations will be limited to Pike Creek, Concord Pike, Route 9, Kirkwood Highway. And you can read the rest of them, but we're looking for some kind of regional study that starts to put some information together, gather some information. One of the places we think this will be work very well is the Route 9 corridor. With the library, the Innovation Center, and some energy and effort. We're actually starting to get some other folks giving us calls now to want to try to redevelop some of the lands, you know, along that Route 9 corridor. So you see that energy taking place, and you're going to see some effort being. This is designed to make sure that the community has a voice at the table and has a place at the table to be heard. So as we're going through and trying to do something to make the entire community work better together, we have an opportunity to have all voices heard at the table. Now, these two ordinances have, and just let me finish out, Janet, who you've seen some here, Janet Vince is going to be leading this particular ordinance, will be leading the focus group, and that's scheduled for April, beginning of April, April 6th, and the submission time is May for you. Janet has a degree from the University of Delaware in History and Urban Affairs and Public Policy. She has worked in planning. She was the planning and zoning manager for the town of Smyrna. So she's familiar with Delaware, and she's been with the county for a year with us. But these, when I say next slide, that would be me. You can take a look at and see that on our website, that's the website up there, every comment that we've had, every effort that we've put together, we are cataloging in all of these, each and every one of them. You can press on that piece and go to it and see exactly what the comments are and follow it. We've had some comments about that website. We've tried and we've made improvements off of that through that process, but we're trying to make it as open and transparent as we possibly can. I'm going to back up for just a second to give you one final thought about neighborhood preservation and EEDs. One of the debates that's occurring, and you'll probably hear this debate take place all throughout, all the way to the ordinance forum, is how much flexibility do we place in the ordinances in terms of trying to ensure that there is certainty on both sides of the equation, certainty on the side for the community and certainty on the side for the business entities that are, you know, trying to engage or be a part of that community. The safety valve that we had been working under was that County Council ultimately designates these. We take these plans and we work these plans and we collaborate on these plans very much like you have seen in Harbor Chase, very much like you have seen in Newtown Square, very much like you have seen in the Wawa at 71 and 72, very much like you were seeing, you know, in Bryn Mawr Commons, very much like you are seeing on the projects going up 202 in your district, Councilman Weiner, and work to consensus to the best level that we can, making sure that we stay within the guidelines as they are. But ultimately, the arbiter of all these will become the legislative body that is here, making decisions, and that's why we're calling designation projects, because they need your designation to be able to become a reality. They'll come through very much like you would see rezonings come through with it. Some members embrace, some voices embrace that. Some voices are more concerned about that along the way. So one of the reasons that we've dropped back to have the focus group meetings again is to go back and make sure that we fully vet all of those voices and get an opportunity to get to a place where we think we've got a product that gives us what we're looking for, and at the same time does as much in terms of consensus building as we can do with it. So I guess we're at the stage now where we'd like to know if we've captured what your vision is, and is there something else you'd like to see, something else you'd like us to do, some other step you'd like us to take along the way. We'll be glad we're all ears from this point on. Thank you.
open it up with a few comments. I've had conversations. Oh, and before we get into the depth of the discussion, you know, George, your department has done a phenomenal job, and you have a wealth of knowledge in there. And although you've identified a couple of your planners, there are certainly quite a few other ones in there that have, you know, that wealth of knowledge that they offer each and every project.
that's dawning the doors of land use nowadays. So you're a very lucky man to be guiding at this point with your the team you have under you, because as we know, the leadership's only as good as the team under them. So
I absolutely agree with you on that. It's a great team. It's a great group of professionals.
Good. Glad you're working together. Also, I've had discussions with Jim Haggerty over a lot of controversy that surrounded several of these ordinances, and as many of you know, we've ended up having to table some of them in agreement with Co-Chair Retta. I've asked George to maybe try to take them back, and he's willfully agreed to just maybe hang them up on the line and try to beat a little bit more controversy out of them before they actually land on this table, although we've never shunned away from controversy in the past. But the more he could accomplish at that level will obviously be a benefit to us. So there's been a lot of input thus far, and per my discussion with George, you know, we thought that it's imperative that we get that discussion to this table to make sure that what is being transpired out there is also the vision that council wants to see, because ultimately we are the keepers of this and it's our vote and this is where it lies. So I asked George to just, you know, try to bring something forward, give a little presentation where we're at and make sure that, you know, the vision that it seems to be led on the outside is actually what council wants to see. So questions for members of council? Councilman Weiner.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just want to second your remarks. I want to thank GM Haggerty for his strong leadership.
Acting.
For his strong leadership. And, of course, your leadership is as a result of the sum of the parts of your department, and I just very pleased and proud, all of you, planners and those that aren't here as well, for being able to do what planners you've been trained to do. The greatest impediments have been the institutional impediments of a lack of progressive thinking, of old codes, fire codes. We've found a way to retool what you do and to work collaboratively with the business and civic community to forge a path forward. It's pleased many of us around the table. Not everyone's going to be happy, but they can't say they haven't had an opportunity to speak. For one who's sat here almost 20 years, I just have a big grin inside and out to see that we're dealing with complete streets and socioeconomic classism is no longer segregating folks by their economic income or segregating where people live, shop, work, and play, but instead making us more economic competitively advantaged to face the new world and satisfy our millennials as well as our aging boomers that want to have this opportunity to live in vibrant, walkable, mixed-use communities.
Additional questions, members of council, Councilman Hollins.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. George, I'm very excited about what's been presented here. I still wonder, does the site on Governor Prince fit into any of the models that we talked about here, whether economic development, the site where there's been a shopping center there for the last 50 years, I would imagine, or longer. And at one of our previous meetings, I complained about the old theater that's no longer operational and the site, and I thought it should be one of the sites that we targeted. And the only thing I noticed that has happened since then is that there's been a mountain of dirt there, and maybe at least you can't see the theater as well now. You see a mountain of dirt instead. And maybe is that the solution there? Or but there's some activity happening there. The Food Lion opened there maybe 2 years ago now. There's two other businesses I think there, but it's a huge footprint there at a critical site in my opinion. But we seem to gloss over that when we're talking about areas where we can perhaps direct some resources and energy to make it a better place to even visit or to pass by. It just seems to me that it gets kind of like overlooked in all of these presentations.
Well, we actually have had conversations as about within about the past 30 days with some discussion about what's this place going to be when it grows up.
And has it grown up yet?
No, it hasn't grown up, but okay. But there are But there are signs that it is interested in growing.
Okay.
So we heard that, and we actually met with them. The owner's representatives there, and they are as anxious as eager, I think, to try to make this something as we would like to see it be made something.
Did they happen to say why the mound of dirt is there in front of
the house? I didn't get into that detail, but I'll find out why the mound of dirt's there.
Because the theater's sitting there, it's been sitting there for decades, empty, major eyesore. Next to that is the old Firestone store that's, mm-hmm. I guess, it's boarded up, I guess, to the extent that we require, so it's not an issue of safety, I don't imagine. But the whole site on that side, the east side of Governor Prince, is just completely deteriorated with the mound of dirt there now. The only thing that's happened has been the mound of dirt. On the other side, it seems to me that there should be some engagement, as you say, is going on to try to make certain that that site becomes a viable site. It's,
if it was in Glasgow, it would be a sledding hill.
Yeah, that may be. Maybe that's the intent.
We just need to relocate it. Maybe you got a water park coming.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and then Councilman Bell.
Thank you. First of all, I'm not happy that we have pushed this out. The names that I saw up there when you put the comments out were names of people that have fought us every step of the way, every time we try to build or develop anything within this county. That being said, I also was not overly joyed to see that it was the Chestnut Run site that was chosen for Economic Empowerment District. I thought that site was fairly, even though much will be abandoned, I'm sure, I thought that site was fairly well built out and had a purpose and could be repurposed better than maybe the site on Governor Prince or the old GM plant. I mean, my envisionment was that we would take a site that is sitting vacant and say, this is the one that's going to be the EEC site for now, and then grow from there, but at least run a pilot on someplace like the GM plant where we could talk to the owners and break it down into usable industrial sites rather than trying to retrofit it for God knows what as 122 acres. When we get to the guiding principles, when you talk about they're a reality now, if they're really a reality and we're seeing that they are, I see no reason why we're waiting to codify it. I don't understand why some of these things are being pushed out when we have small discussions with council, but you know, we haven't necessarily had a workshop with council members like we maybe have had with some of the public members or other specific groups. Even though council, you know, is invited and welcome to come, I know that for the ones that I've sat through, I haven't tended to say a lot because I mostly want to listen to what the other people are saying because I think that they absolutely have a right to voice their opinions. But how long do we reasonably let things go and not run them through council as an ordinance because two or three or four people out of the hundreds of thousands of people have comments that they, in my mind, will most likely never get resolved. I mean, we saw the parking garage ordinance sit for a year because we had one person that was against that. We've seen so many of these things in rewriting the UDC sit forever and ever and ever because we have a small group of five or six people that just don't want it to happen. I think that personally, I may be wrong, but I think that the UDC is a terrible document. I think it was put up to stop or slow development, and in the economy that we are in now and in the economic disaster that this county is in now, I just don't know how we don't just go forward on trying to improve some of these things and make us a more friendly and better place where people from the outside will want to come in and redevelop or develop.
Can I address a couple of those?
Oh, yeah, they were to you directly, yes.
Sure.
Just state your name as you address them.
George Haggerty, acting general manager.
Emphasis on acting.
Yes. I'm a person that when I set timelines, I like to try to stay right on the timeline. And if you think I do, I've got another person that works with me, another key member, Reed McMillan. He absolutely steps on the time, stays on those timelines to the second almost. Here's a piece that we missed. We had heard some voices, we hadn't heard all the voices. And that part of that was on us. Part of that was our attempt to do that was to say, we're going to have a meeting, y'all come. But the voices that we hadn't heard from were, I think, voices of prominence as well. CCOBH, GATA, 40 and 7, CIRC, you know, the business, Commercial Industrial Real Estate Council. And so one of the things that we're doing besides these focus groups is we're going back out and we're going to those groups to make sure that we get an opportunity to hear their voice as well. And they may, their voice may be timid or small or short, or their voice may be illuminating along the way. But we thought we needed to go take a look at those. And that's just some of the groups that I mentioned that I know you're all familiar with.
Councilwoman?
I know Eileen came to GATA. I mean, that we had that presentation, we had that discussion, and the president or the head of the land use committee in GATA has been to just about every one of the workshops, the public workshops, like down at Christiana
right.
Fire Company. I mean, we discuss these things, but sometimes it's not until the ordinance is on the table, until it's introduced in council, that you're going to get the majority of those public people, and mostly then they would be the dissenters, to come out and say, wait a minute, I have a problem with this. So I guess I see no reason why it is not brought to council, why it's not introduced, and then if we see that there is a major outcry, then you've got the public's attention. I don't think you get the public's attention until you get to that point. It's not that you have not had consultants and focus groups and working groups and fairly well attended, the ones at Christiana Fire Company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting the people that are vested in everything that we do on this council. You may not be getting the people that aren't, but I don't think you get their attention until it's introduced, and then it goes on something like Al Mazzetti's show or, you know, whoever, where they start publicly talking about it. They don't talk about it when we do it in-house. It's got to be at the public point. So, I think that you need to get to that public point if you want to capture any of those people. It doesn't mean that you introduce it today and in 2 weeks that we have to vote on it, but I think that's where you grasp the people that are not in the immediate, oh, I love to be in the land use process group.
But on the second piece, Chestnut Run was just given as an example of what could be an EED. There are two prongs to the EED. One is the existing campuses and making sure that they have the ability to modify and expand as needed and necessary with today's business model, and the other ones would be a vacant, or actually there's three, existing, the vacant, and the greenfield ones, assuming that somebody wants to commit that amount of land, you know, to something like that. So we were just, it was just an example of what it could be. Our existing legacy campuses need some attention, and we can say that from having to work almost head-butting ourselves, trying to get them to a place where we could get them through the code so that they would stay. And even all the efforts that we did, when Stein Haskell was one of the ones that we put a lot of effort into, I'm not sure that's going to, you know, give us the long-term result with it. But we do have other ones that are on the horizon that are working in sight, CSC. We have another company that's a local company that's trying to expand, and we're working, you know, with them to try to expand. The EEDs do a couple things, but mainly what they do is modernize them and give them some flexibility to expand within order to do that. We just used Chestnut Run as a example of what one of the local campuses, the legacy campuses would be. So as an example of that. That was all. I hear what you're saying. I appreciate your comments and appreciate your energy to move it forward.
Councilman Bell.
I'll pass.
Additional questions, member council? Any questions from the public? Councilman Street.
Hold on.
Just briefly, your presentation was just impressive to me. And I think it should be expedited to the extent practical. At the point where, in my opinion, Newsweek comes in and it prints an article last year that says Murdertown, USA. And in my opinion, they issue a challenge to the DuPont company to say, this is your home, you need to do something about this. And DuPont proceeded to meet the challenge by leaving. So we have some major challenges, and this, in terms of developing and creating new opportunities and creating business, we need to fast track this to do what can and should be done to defy the odds and succeed as a county without DuPont. So I just commend you for your effort and thank the staff for what they're doing. And the only concern I have, it will be, I said as soon as Steel got started, as soon as Steel was put in the ground for the library, I was going to start begging for senior high rise, some type of senior services out in the Route 9 corridor, which I'm going to do. By the same token, the safeguards I think that need to be built in, I will have wasted my time if the people who live there are displaced by all the new things that are brought about. And don't have to go any further than up the road to Chester. And as they started forward building the casino, they just wiped out a whole section of town all the way down what is now expanded 291. And those folks from the beginning were supposed to benefit from the casino being built in their community. They're gone, their houses torn down, and they're not going to be replaced. So I'll be looking at what safeguards we can build in, but I just urge you to go forward and go forward as expeditiously as practical. And thank you all for everything that you're doing, the expertise.
Thank you, Councilman. Public?
My name is Peggy Schultz, and I'm representing the League of Women Voters. I'm aware of Newcastle County or wherever. And I'm also appreciative of the wonderful staff that actually reads Planning Journal. I love it. I love it. But I have a question about the process. The a perennial issue on the council, and of course with the League of Women Voters, is providing public transit. And my question is almost an overriding principle, but it's not quite that much. I mean, we all love public transit, but we're going to need appropriate density to support good public transit. And I'm wondering what you all are writing into these ordinances that will support an adequate density to make public transit appropriate. 16 dwelling units per acre, of course, is good, a good formula for public transit in residential areas. And I don't know about a mixed-use situation, but I'm sure our guys know that. But I would hope, and I wonder if you are dealing, that's really a question, are you dealing with the issue of density, and if so, in what regard?
I can't, George Haggerty, Land Use Department, I can't say that we're totally focused on the issue for these three ordinances on the issue of density. It is addressed in the comp plan. There are conversations and discussions about it in the comp plan. There are conversations about it around nodes on the 301 area from the south, all the way up into the upper part of the county. But I can't say that it has been an issue that we have totally, you know, focused on. So we'll certainly take your comments and give them some reflections and take a look at them. And I think somewhere along the way, when we get into phase two and phase three, we're probably going to have an opportunity to, you know, probably address and look at that more. It is a competing interest with transit options and transportation options. If you don't have the right density, you're not going to get the transit options available to you. So.
Additional questions from the public? I don't see none. George, again, thank you for the presentation and the engagement in council. Certainly look forward to more from you as we move forward. If you could probably, I know Chip sent us a little email earlier today on the meeting coming up, but if we could have, I don't think he included everything you just included, like when the focus groups would be meeting. That wasn't in your presentation, but you did have when the ordinance was actually make it to council. So perhaps if we could get that, you know, we could disseminate it or just send it to all of council. And
we will. One of the other things that we're trying to do also over the next first and second half of this year is we're going to get a couple minutes and try to bring all of our different functions in and give you a 3 to 5 minute presentation about what it is that we do. A lot of you know what we do, you know, for the most part, or know pieces of what we do. I don't think you know all that we do and the complexity that exists. So we're going to try to make them short, sweet, to the point. But, you know, if you have any additional questions or they spur any additional questions, that you can get a chance. That's from building permits, inspections, code enforcement, you know, stormwater management, you know, planning and zoning and things of this nature. So we're going to try to get that, you know, to you, you know, also. And I think perhaps this seems like the right forum to get you in the conversation about the, you know, the particulars of those ordinances as we're bringing them forward, or a discussion about, so how did the focus group go? Maybe we can come back and report out, you know, give you some, you know, sense of what, you know, the issues are, so you're familiar with the issues as well. You're not blindsided on the street one day by, you know, did you hear about this, did you hear about that? We'd rather you hear about it in context as opposed to argumentative thought.
Councilman Weiner?
Yeah, very quick. I think there's merit to both sides about having slowed down some of the ordinances, and yet I would like to see them go more quickly. My civic associations received a letter from one of the civic umbrella groups that painted a picture that I didn't recognize about the intention of our land use department. So in that regard, I appreciate the deference for another month or so to try to rectify what I think was a mischaracterization.
At the end of the day, facts are like matter. You can't create them or destroy them. You can only identify them. So that's what I believe will take place and will happen at the end of the day. The facts will be on the table. So.
And George, I'll kind of leave you with one of my favorite quotes from one of the most successful companies probably in the United States today, from one of their late CEOs, Steve Jobs. It doesn't make sense to hire people and tell them what to do. You know, we hire people so they could tell us what to do, and it sounds like you have that staff now. So,
great staff.
Next item on the agenda.
You have a council members.
Who?
No, next item is other, right?
Yep, next item is other. Next item on the agenda is other. Councilman Street.
Just briefly, and before George left, you know, I feel bad sometimes because he's dealing with major projects, major developments, and here I come running, screaming, and crying about some code enforcement problem. But I have a situation where I got a young couple all excited. You know, they've moved into this banking brand new houses, infill, and there's a burn-up trailer next to it. And the Civic Association president is talking more junk than radio. And I'm getting exasperated with him. The folks living there are not happy. And then there's some more hyper-technical foolishness in the code that you just can't go in and take care of. Make a long story short, he promised me he would find a way to get it taken care of. I go out there, the burnout trail is going, and in addition to all the major things he has to deal with, he dealt with that. He's a man of his word. I appreciate it and appreciate you taking the time to take care of those little things that come up that are a pain for me.
Just so you know, I couldn't take care of yours because I was taking care of his.
Well, other council members have shared openly, you know, some frustrations they've had with the department and code. You mentioned burned, you know, we've had several of those in our district. I'm actually working on something I hope to have soon, and I commend Reed on his leadership on that and the research that he's done. But there's been a few problems there. George recognizes them. He knows what's going on. We're working through trying to get that resolved and getting back to where we need to be with these code issues and the enforcement in that department in there. So again, that's hit George's radar, and he knows about it. He knows what he's hearing from this body, and he's made a commitment to resolve that. So anything on other? Nope. Anything from the public?
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
All right.
Go.